Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the sermon of the week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
The Bible is where your treasure is. That's where your heart's going to be. So I often tell people nothing is impossible. If you are simply interested in doing it, the Lord will give you strength. You will find the strength to make it happen. Amen. Amen. Thank God for these tremendous saints. In the Word of God, we've been talking and dealing in this text with regard to Pentecost, and we're talking about the miracles that took place on that wonderful day. We talked about the wind, and we're talking about the fire. Now, it's verse 2, the wind, it says, "There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, all the house where they were sitting. And 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them." Amen. This is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Yes, and you know, one of the things that I contend is, in fact, missing in the church today is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not in the church in general, but in the lives of some people. The Holy Ghost fire is absent. Amen. We are very wonderfully reserved in our demeanor where church is concerned now. And the excitement, you remember there was when we would, when I first started coming to church, when I got saved years ago, there were always some very powerfully fiery mothers in the church and men that just didn't mind saying amen, didn't mind opening their mouths and declaring the work of the Lord. And everything you saw about their life suggested, Deacon, that they really lived what they articulated. They lived what they declared, amen? And then they were excited about salvation. And things, not that things then did not mirror the way they are now in terms of probably even equally as bad then as it is now. But I know that there are new things always being introduced in society to challenge our time and challenge and vie for our attention. But there were things that were there to grab their attention, but they were just committed and excited about serving God. Not to suggest that there are none of those individuals around now, but it's something when you talk about the fire of the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
It excites and ignites something in you. And then, it was not just emotional.
That's right.
Because when you're on fire for the Holy Ghost, it means that you're committed to living what you know God wants you to live.
Amen.
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 It means you're committed to doing what you know God wants you to do. Now, in the Word, when it talks about the fire of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is clear when it says, that these were the miracles that took place at Pentecost. The miracle was one that dealt with the wind, which we said was invisible, irresistible, and indispensable. And then we talk about the fire, the fact that it sat upon each of them. And when it sat upon them, we know as we've been declaring to you, that when the word sit is used, it indicates a position of power, a position of authority, an official position to execute and to do business. Amen? An official position to execute and to do great exploits in the kingdom of God is what this suggests. And what the word declared here in the text is the fire comes, first of all, we said, to purify. It comes to burn the things away from our life that doesn't reflect the presence of Christ. Amen. And isn't it interesting when you got folk that don't mind having some things subtracted from your life? Amen. Yes. If you would turn with me real quickly in the Word of God, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to think about the fire of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, real quick. And look at what the Lord says here. When you look in that verse, look at verse number 7. It says, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you rather take? Are you there? 1 Corinthians 6. Are you there? Verse 7. Yes. Verse 7. It says, and why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? It says, nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that, it says, your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Amen. Does that make sense to everyone in here? Say, don't you know that unrighteous won't go to heaven? Now, again, I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire is that which purifies, is that which burns away the stuff that has no business in your life. Amen. Are you there?
Amen.
All right. Then it says, and then don't be deceived. Now, the reason I like this verse, among many other reasons, it says, don't you know that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Uh-huh. It says, if you're not righteous, you're not going to heaven.
No,
that's what this verse says.
Amen.
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 If you're not righteous, you're not going to heaven. We live in a society now where people believe everybody's going to heaven. Amen. Two homosexual people that say they're married, they'll tell you, we love God just like you do. That, well, you really don't love him like I love him.
Yeah, right.
You love him according to your definition. You have defined your relationship with God. But guess what? You don't get to define you don't define the success of your relationship with God. He defines it.
That's it.
Are y'all okay with that? Amen. If you're in a relationship with me, you don't get to define the success. I do.
That's right. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now, that's the way you execute every relationship that you're in. You define the success or failure of the relationship. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Just an illustration. If my wife says to me, you hurt my feelings, I don't tell her, oh no, I didn't hurt your feelings. Guess what? Does she know her feelings?
Amen.
So she defines the success or failure.
Amen.
All I'm to do is ask, all right, how did I do it? Just so that I become aware. And then my job is to come into compliance with what makes her happy in that area of her life.
Amen.
All right? But she defines the success. So I can stand there all day and say, no, your feelings not hurt. No, I just said this. Well, what you just said hurt my feelings. Are y'all okay with that?
Amen.
Amen. So you don't decide, the person that you're in relationship decides the success or failure of the relationship. Now, one of the other points, we were talking about this in the session that we had this morning with the deacons. The Bible, the Lord said that faith without works is dead. Amen. Now, what he's saying is there's got to be some component of your life that reflects the fact that you are a person of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Your life ought to reflect that.
That's right.
And God said, if there is no work, then you have no faith. I don't care what you say. Amen. Amen. He said it's dead.
Amen.
If there is no demonstration of faith, you can have faith intellectually all day long. But if your works, if you never do anything about it.
That's right.
Amen. That, amen. It's like this. If you say you have that, you trust God and you're not a tither, faith without works is dead. Amen. If you say you trust God and you stingy, faith without works is dead. Amen. If you say that, remember, the Bible already told us where your treasure is where your heart's going to be. No, I'm holding on to every dime I got because I don't know where the next one's coming from. And I thought God was Jehovah Jireh, that he's the provider. And so James said, listen, he says, you show me your faith. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
James said, I'll show you that I'm a faithful person by what I do. Amen.
Amen.
You ought to preach to people more loudly before you start, before you ever open your mouth. You should have already preached a powerful word to the person that you desire to speak to. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, this is what, put the verse back on the screen again. It says, don't you know that unrighteous should not inherit? My point there was God defines a successful relationship with him. Amen. Again, two people, same sex marriage, they are practicing sinners.
That's right. That's all.
All right. Practicing. They love sin. They're living in it. It's not, it's part of who they are. And unless you repent, you will miss heaven.
Right.
Put the verse back on the screen. Again, here it is. And then it says, none of these are going either. This is what the fire burns away. It says, fornication is not going there. Amen. Idolaters are not going. Adulterers are not going. Effeminate folk, he says, are not going now. Again, this is God. It's not my Bible. It's his.
That's right.
It's his word. No abusers of themselves with mankind. It said thieves are not going. Covetous folk are not going. Drunkards are not going. Revilers are not going. Extortioners are not going.
Yes.
It says none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Is what the word says.
Yeah.
Come on, dear neighbor, thank God for the fire.
Thank God for the fire.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He says they're not going to inherit the kingdom. None of these things, the Lord says, will inherit the kingdom of God. All right? Now, and it goes beyond, and I use the illustration of homosexual, lesbian folk living together, because these are folk that declare that their relationship with God is just as strong as your relationship with God. What is an indication of your faithfulness and really your love for God is found in what you do in executing your life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's found in what you do in the execution, not just what you do in the articulation.
Amen.
It's what you do in the execution. It's more to it than just a testimony service.
That's right.
All right. Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
There's more to it than just a testimony service, is what the word declared. Now, it says the fire, it purifies. Everything that may abide the fire, it says you shall make it go through the fire and it shall be clean. Ezekiel 22, verse 18, Son of Man, it says, the house of Israel is to me become impure. And it says they are brass and that they are tin. He's telling us, saints of God, that there are impurities in lives that the fire of the Holy Ghost brings to our attention and that there is desire in our hearts to move away from those things that we know does not please God.
Amen.
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 That means that, listen, when God speaks to you, that there is a compulsion to do better than what you were doing yesterday.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Some people quit serving God. I had a person sit down and talk to me just last week. And the person said, I don't know if I can do this salvation thing. It may be a little too tough for me because I don't believe like you all believe. I don't believe, and I don't feel this thing called salvation. I tried to be saved, but it's the requirement is too great. It's too great. Listen, you gonna where your treasure is, where your heart's gonna be. It requires something. And see, and the Bible's already clear when he says, you don't get to do what you want to do and then get to go where you want to go.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
God makes the rules.
That's it.
All right, and it's not just a dogmatic imposition on us. Listen, we're in this relationship with God because we love him.
That's right.
Amen. It's interesting. Listen, God made us. And then watch what he did. He gave us. He made us, y'all. He wired us. Amen. You got some weird stuff going on in your life. Listen, God allowed you. He made you so you can experience weird. Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
He made you so you can experience weird stuff.
Amen.
Now it's something. He made all of us, and then he gave us the ability to reject him if you want to.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, I like it like that.
Amen.
I wouldn't want a relationship. I watch some of those shows on TV. I don't stay with them long because I figure out what they're doing, kind of thing. But I saw one movie I was trying to watch and it was some movie where the people were not real people or something. They had been, I don't know, anyway, they were not real. They were robots or something. And they looked like the people that were real, but they were not the people. They were clones of some sort. And anyway, the people, they were programmed to do what they did. You know, they weren't real. If you pull you can take their faces off, and they look like they were all metal and stuff. Yeah, that's pretty weird. But the deal is, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone like that. I mean, if you were programmed to say stuff, programmed, to move and to be in certain places, do certain things, whether we just programmatically just bowed down and said, glory to God in the highest. No, he made you with attitude.
Right.
So you can bring that attitude under subjection and declare, I make a choice to serve you.
Yeah.
See, that's why it's so wonderful being with my wife. She's in the relationship by choice.
Right.
Amen. I don't hog tire to the house. She has her own stuff. She can do whatever she wants to do. But she comes home every night. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Amen. I smile when she shows up because she's there by choice. And God likes it when we make a choice to serve him. It's not a robotic, nor just ritualistic or ceremonial service, but we're here because we love God.
Amen.
Nothing can get you out of bed this early in the morning except you really love the Lord. Amen. This is purely voluntary.
Amen.
Amen. You can tell it's voluntary by how many empty seats we have here. Amen. You know, at work, most of the time, the seats are full at work because if you don't show up there too often,
you got no job.
That's right. They take your key, your little car key access thing. They deactivate it. Amen. You try to get in the gate in the morning and the gate don't work. if you don't show up often enough. You're going to be like the preacher in Winston-Salem last week. That Deacon Ruff sent out a text message, some link that said this preacher started charging people to get into church on Sunday morning. See, I wouldn't try that because I know, people don't want to come now. Don't want to give him an excuse not to come, but he said he charged them because they weren't tithe payers. So he said, and the church was losing money, so he started charging folk to get in the church service. And I'm not sure how that works, but we don't try that at home. Fire burns the stuff that's not like God. And see, that's our compulsion, saints of God. And it really is the way that God designed it to work. That, listen, he created us, and his desire is that we would serve him. And when the Holy Ghost reminds us of the stuff that's not, that doesn't look like God, and that's the part that we call, listen, that we call sanctification. It's when we set ourselves apart from certain things we know God doesn't like to be in our lives. And that's what that list is that we just finished reading. Amen. When we really want to please God, we want to look like him. We want to follow the model that Jesus Christ set when he walked the earth.
Yes.
And none of these things were found in his life. You know, he wasn't effeminate. He wasn't a reviler. Wasn't an extortioner. Wasn't a fornicator. He was none of those things.
No, sir.
And that's the thing that we're saying we want to be a part of our lives. Let me finish the point that I alluded to earlier. The sister that said this thing called salvation is too much. Listen, the deal is you don't serve God out of your own strength, but you serve God in the strength of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that you serve God. Amen.
Yes.
He's the one that makes you righteous.
Yes, sir.
It's not yours. That's not your assignment. You have to learn to stay in your lane. Amen.
Amen.
You have to learn to stay in the place that God assigned you, that God equipped and prepared you to be. And this is the thing, when you don't understand how this thing works, amen, that's when you tend, you develop a wrong perception, understanding of the way God has ordered this walk that he has called us to. And you start taking on a responsibility that simply does not belong to you.
Amen.
Amen. It is God's work. It's his responsibility. Of course, through his son, Jesus Christ, to cleanse us from unrighteousness.
Yes, sir.
But what we have to do is to set ourselves apart and say, God, we yield ourselves to you. We give you our whole hearts. And we ask you, listen, to empower us.
Yes.
And to energize us for the purpose of walking upright before you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so that's, in fact, what the fire does. And we've been saying through this this discourse here that the fire actually helps us to be victorious in getting rid of things. But you got to remember what the fire does ultimately is move us to the place of walking in a level of righteousness and holiness that God desires for us.
Amen.
And God wants above everything else that we would be holy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says, I want you to be holy because that's who I am.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
He says, be holy for I am holy.
Yes, sir.
Is what the word says. And what the Lord declares in this text, and I shared this with you before. Now, his number one goal for us in our lives is not that we would be happy. Mm-hmm. Amen. Which just simply means he's not catering to every emotional and every psychological whim that you have.
That's right.
Amen. You
Amen.
See something you want, that name it, claim it, depending upon you might be naming and claiming something that belongs to somebody else.
That's right.
Amen. So God's heart is not designed to make you happy by giving you everything that your heart desires.
That's right.
Amen. But what he does want to do is so transform your heart so that everything your heart desire aligns with his desire for your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Then he'll give you your
That's right.
Yes, then he'll give you your heart's desire, but he's got to transform your heart first so that you only desire what he wants for you.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Amen. When somebody do you wrong and you don't want them killed, then you're moving into the direction that God wants. For your heart. Amen. Leviticus 11 and verse 45, it says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, he says, for I am holy. He give us a litany of verses that assert the exact same thing. 1 Peter 1:16, be holy for I am holy.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And what we declared there on last week is this. The Lord says, now that you know that the world is coming to an end, now that you know that the thing that you see as you see them now, if I've given you indication that when I say something is happening, it's coming to pass, he said, that's what you ought to be. That's why you ought to be more sober and grave in the execution of your walk with me right now.
Amen.
Huh? That's what that verse says. Turn there real quick. I think we looked at this 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, I want you to be serious about what you're doing. Tell your neighbor you got to be serious. Amen. To know that that's what God's desire is for us. One of the things I'm concerned about is that, listen, that we don't take seriously the things that we're required to do in the house of God as we should in many cases. Verse 8 says, but beloved, this is 1 Peter 3, verse 8, and it's talking about the day of the Lord. It says, but beloved, don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, when not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 10, it says, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It says the earth is what he says. So the earth is going to be burned up. The works in the earth are going to be burned up. That means everything is going to be burned up. Verse 11 says, now that you know that these things are going to happen, shouldn't you be more serious about what you're doing right now? All right? And then verse 12, look at how it says, looking for and hastening until the coming of the day of the Lord, until the day of God, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, is what it says. But it says, verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, he says, I'm going to replace the old with the new. But what he declares to us is this. He says, I'm giving you another promise that this stuff is coming to an end.
Yes, sir.
He says, if you really believe it's coming to an end. And remember now, he's just simply saying to us, if we really trust what the word says, then our lives ought to be impacted by what the word declares.
Amen.
Amen. Put those verses back. Put verse number 10 back on the screen again. And that's all he's saying. He said that the fire, we should allow the fire of God to move away those things that are not like him. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. Listen, this stuff is going to happen, saints of God. And he says, even if you believe it, then your life ought to reflect the fact that you believe that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, why would we, you know, it's interesting to me. I watch news and somebody, you know, shot somebody last week and they got caught. Now, why would anybody shoot anybody this week? If you shot them last week and they didn't get away with it, what makes you think you're going to shoot somebody today and get away with it? I mean, we do the same thing every day, the same news, just different people.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And see, I even do, you know, so I put that verse back on the screen now. And then it compels those saints of God. It says, now remember that what it compels to do is to trust that when God says something, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
What if that day is tomorrow? What if it's, you know, what if it's Tuesday? What if it happens on that day? Amen. He says, listen, and what he declared, you know he has a track record. And to your point, we were talking about this. He's able. He can do that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Whatever he says, he can do it.
Yes, sir.
He can make it happen. If he says, I'm going to open the earth up on Wednesday and swallow about, you know, 2 million folk, guess what? You know, say goodbye to him. It's done. He can do it. It says the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. It said the earth is going to burn up, and the works are going to burn up. And listen, because we know that he's a God of his word, when he says it's going to happen, you can count on this thing coming to pass. Come on, somebody say the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding."
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.